Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collings, and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic, and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Robin McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Robin McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
You are listening and much less likely watching Shake Them Ropes here as we head into the middle of March. Did you know you can see us on YouTube? Not like a Shake Them Ropes YouTube, but I believe the Voices of Wrestling YouTube. Yes. I just found out this week, Jeff Hawkins, that we are still affiliated with Voices of Wrestling.
Yes. Yes, we are. We're actually on a playlist that says Shake Them Ropes podcast.
Oh, my
God. The original
God.
One. The one
what
you
are those
made.
Guys doing these days? I don't think I've seen a Voices of Wrestling tweet in 5 years.
They are not on social media as much, other than to give the feed of the shows. They are mostly doing their own thing. They have a Patreon that's quite successful.
I love it. Good.
Yeah, and they, you know, they continue to do 13-hour shows every week. It's great.
Oh my God, that's so long. I'm also, like, you can, if you go to the playlist of Shake Them Ropes on YouTube, on the Voices of Wrestling Network, you can see the microphone completely eliminate half of my body.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why it's doing that, but it's doing it, so what are you going to do? Wait, oh, maybe it'll erase some of my head here. Hold on. Nope, not yet. Anywho, we have wrestling to talk about. We have the push, some major matches, or a major match added to WrestleMania. AEW Dynamite, I feel like if you are listening to pro wrestling podcasts, you've probably already heard a lot of the criticisms that I had with Dynamite from other people. So I don't know how much we'll get into the specifics of Dynamite, other than to say the first 20 minutes plus everything Darby Allin was OMG and not in a good way.
Yeah, my things were more storytelling that I was angry at. I was like, we went through 5 months of Jon Moxley redemption to just, we'll turn him heel again.
Well, it was redemption that was, you know, he was cutting babyface promos every once in a while. The question was always there of, you know, is he a babyface? Is he a heel? And to me, that doesn't honestly matter, like categorizing him as that.
Yeah. Unless
he's going to do this, you know, I'm a jerk to the fans one day and I love the fans the other day and I'm a jerk to fans again for no real reason. Like, that's the type of stuff. You're not outwardly coming out and saying, you know, Jon Moxley's a babyface. He's only wrestling heels right now. Like,
right.
You can do both. And AEW, believe me, they do both. I mean, they have babyfaces going up against babyfaces all the time, heels against the heels all the time. But Jon Moxley is just completely changing his persona every once in a while. And
yes, and within the Death Riders, we now have like another shift of who is a babyface and who is a heel within the group, with Garcia going after Ciampa. And it's like, okay, great. That's not even the worst thing that happened in terms of continuity on this show for me. The one that we are fighting for an EVP position that Kenny Omega has abdicated as of last year when he was going after Okada and Takeshita. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah,
we're gonna do a corner office feud for the stroke.
What is that? what do you think Tony Khan, like, Tony Khan obviously is approving this. I'm like, okay, yeah, I can work with Swerve. Because in theory, right, you're Tony Khan. Like, you're gonna give this position to a guy who wins a fist fight?
Sure. Well,
like, how important is this job?
As we know, he took over positions from the EVPs in terms of decision making anyway, well, so they're all...
As we know, as not on television.
But not on television, Bucks, no.
So the EVPs, listen, Cody's gone. The Young Bucks no longer EVPs. Kenny Omega would be the last one who was on TV as an EVP, even though Christopher Daniels is still somehow in charge of different things, even though he's a manager back again. Who knows who else might be in charge of things. I was also going to go off. We're going to talk about that still in my preview here a little bit. I was going to go off on Darby Allin being like a number one contender potentially to be the world title. I did look at his win-loss record in singles matches, and it's not terrible. So, like, at least that works out. Because I was getting ready to come on here and be like, all you have to do is beat up fucking Gabe Kidd, who hasn't won a match in AEW since he got here. Like, we're just supposed to believe that Gabe Kidd is good.
You know, I'll give you a little bit of background. Darby gives that line, I'm going after the world title, to crickets. And a certain talent goes, yeah, this crowd sucks, to my co-host at my other show.
It's not the crowd's fault, bro. Like, I know. I texted you while this show was starting because, like, obviously there was some confusion. What the hell are you doing with Tony Storm, and why do you have to confuse Daniel Bryan on commentary to the point where he has a stroke on air in the first 5 minutes, and then Will Ospreay gets out there and goes toe-to-toe with Blake Christian, which I've seen some people be really negative on that. And I'm like, well, I mean, Will Ospreay took 6 months off, had a devastating injury. Maybe he's not the Will Ospreay of a year ago. So it's okay if he has a little rust. It's okay if he's a little, kind of struggling. But then
pause right there, because it is. But then you have him go outside the ring and beat up two men.
Then he's beating up two men and he's flying all around. Obviously, no caution at all. But 6 months, remember when the neck fusion used to be like, maybe he never wrestles again. And at least it's a year and a half. Kevin Owens, we don't know the specifics of what his neck injury is, but he's going to be out potentially 2 years. Will Ospreay's back in 6 months. Even if he was ready to come back, maybe hold him out till All In, right? And definitely, I loved that, you know, the Twitterverse was going crazy. I'm like, just because Will Ospreay made an appearance tonight, maybe it'll be a couple of months before he can actually wrestle. They put him, no intrigue, no questions, even if he could wrestle. You could have so much intrigue going on. Yes. Like, when will he actually come back? Is there actually still an injury going on and we're going to have something going on with the Death Riders? But no, opening match of the very first show after the pay-per-view he returns at, I'm going to wrestle Blake Christian because why the hell not?
70-30, and Excalibur has the nerve to say he's back and better than ever.
He kind of went back on that a little bit afterwards, though. He's like, potentially he's back and better than ever. And then his next words were something to the effect of, well, we don't know yet. It's kind of early to see if he's, he was realizing how stupid of a thing that was that he just said. Like, this Dynamite man. And I texted you that AEW had been having momentum. They've been gaining momentum lately. People are talking about them a little bit more. Their ratings are up a little bit. There's continuity in some of the world title, even though I haven't believed that, because what the hell, Swerve and Adam Page and Kenny Omega come out and have their little three-way promo battle two separate times. And then guess who's in the world title picture right now? None of the three. None of them.
My friends locally did enjoy Revolution, but they were going to enjoy good matches. But for me, like, watching it, I was like, okay, we have this match, and here's the important person who's next. It's like, oh, okay, so none of this was
When's the last time a WWE pay-per-view, and I'm not trying to compare, obviously WWE pay-per-views are shorter nowadays, there's fewer matches, there's more to the point. When's the last time a WWE pay-per-view had ended before, or ended after, let's say, what, 8 p.m. on the West Coast for you, Jeff? When's the last time one ended after 8 p.m.? Was last year's WrestleMania? Maybe not even, because 8 p.m. is 11 p.m. Eastern. This fucking Dynamite, or this fucking Revolution, ended 1 a.m. Eastern on a freaking Sunday.
Yeah, And your answer, I think, is actually two WrestleManias ago. I think it was actually the Los Angeles one because he was
probably
on the West Coast.
Yeah, probably. I mean,
Philly. Yeah.
Almost 1 o'clock in the morning Eastern time on a work night. On a
night. When the Oscars are letting out. So L.A. was hell on earth to get around.
I remember back in my day, the Oscars used to be the one that ended late on Sundays. Mm-hmm. And the Oscars ending at 10:30. It was like, what happened here? I was tuning in at 10:30 to find the big awards being presented. And I was like, what? The Oscars are over? What the hell happened here?
We need to play off AEW occasionally. Just all right, wrap it up.
Gabe Kidd has won one singles match since debuting in AEW. Now he has not been in AEW very long.
No,
because he wrestled at World's End against Darby Allin and lost it. He had wrestled here and there kind of for AEW, although AEW All in Texas. He lost in a six man. So going back, I'm not going back too far for singles matches, but in this current recent run, this calendar year, he has won one singles match. One. And that singles match victory was against Orange Cassidy, which does not carry the stroke it would have had like 3 years ago or so. Otherwise, he has lost matches to Darby Allin, Andrade, Darby Allin again, and he's even lost some tag team matches to Darby Allin. So, Gabe Kidd is nothing special in AEW, but we're going to have Darby Allin ride this to the world title.
Oh, no, we're doing a coffin match as a transition on the number two guy in a stable that nobody cares about to then go to David Finlay.
Which, honestly, at this point, like, as long as the Don Callis family has been around, as important some of the names have been, including Will Ospreay at one time, and you have Konosuke Takeshi in there and Kazuchika Okada, this continues to be one of the least over big groups that's been around this long in professional wrestling history.
And we dropped the feud where the Death Riders was going after the Callis family. So they're even less important.
Because it wouldn't make sense anymore,
now.
Right?
Right.
It wouldn't make sense anymore because Jon Moxley wants to do bad things again.
Yes.
Not carry the international title with respect or the intercontinental, whatever continental championship he has or whatever champion. Does he have a championship right now?
Yes, because he beat Takeshita.
Yes. Whatever that championship is.
The continental title, I believe, is the name of it, sir.
My God. We praise them. We praise them on the show, which we've been doing for 10 years straight without breaks and without different partners. We praise them when they combine the international and the continental. And I would like them to do it again and then throw whatever combo that belt that is in the trash because it's too many. Get them out of here. What does Jon Moxley need a title for when all he's doing is blood feuds at this point?
True.
Because obviously he doesn't care about saving the reputation of championships in AEW anymore. So they had momentum. We'll see if they continue any momentum, but it's going to be tough when WWE is going into WrestleMania, which is a pretty big time for them. When I think TNA had momentum for a week and now that's over. TNA, everyone's back to not. I mean, who knows if it's going to even last. Like, will TNA wrestling be on AMC TV come January? That's a legitimate question I would have at this point. Because no one's talking about it. MLW, you get some people talking about every once in a while, just when like a name appears. Most recently, Karrion Kross is kind of making that his home right now. So in the world of wrestling, it's like WWE, I wouldn't even say they have momentum necessarily. They're just going into their biggest show. Mm-hmm. It's a very strange time, very different, very, very nice, very evil different from it was a year ago, 2 years ago. But let's start with our main story. So that's all the stuff we're going to get into. And we probably have done our Darby Allin rant, but maybe it'll come up again. Let's go to the nice and evil Darby Allin kind of hybrid in WWE at this point, Danhausen. This is becoming a thing. And hear me out. I was the one who knew exactly where Gunther's story was going before he even had the Goldberg match. And here we are, the legend killer Gunther, the career killer Gunther, may not even have a match at WrestleMania now because Rey Mysterio got hurt. Mm-hmm. Which is not the direction I thought this was going. And you have Penta right there as the Intercontinental Champion. I don't know why you would not just switch to that. But I want to talk about this Danhausen because I'm sensing a theme here. I think we're going to have a very important cursing, not in the very long distance away, a very important cursing that changes the course of WWE, because they are selling this cursing gimmick,
yes,
and immediately paying it off with the smaller time curses he's doing. Like, I'm starting to wonder if there's going to be a curse that plays a part in the main event of WrestleMania.
Oh, do you? Because I
don't know which one yet. It could be Orton. It could be Rhodes. It could be Punk and Roman Reigns, probably less likely. But I see a very big cursing happening here at WrestleMania that's going to play a part, because they are really selling this strong so far.
All right. I think they're doing a hell of a job with this, number one.
Oh, he's doing great.
The vignettes have been great as well. I think he's taking a stunner. I think that's what this is all leading to. I think he's going to end up cursing himself in a mirror when he's wearing this stone cold getup that he was doing for 316 Day. And he's taking this is the Stone Cold Steve Austin thing that's going to happen to him.
Well, I would say, yeah, that makes sense, because he has been mentioned. The thing is, he's been mentioning a lot on non-televised gimmicks.
Okay, fair.
During the commercials, it's been WWE.com videos and social media videos. The only time he has mentioned anything Steve Austin related was the first time he met Adam Pearce, when he called him Cold Steve Austin, because he thinks that's Steve Austin in his Clark Kent disguise.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they're going to go. I don't know if they bring back Steve Austin to do something silly with Danhausen.
Okay, fair.
I feel like that's beneath him right now. Although there have been times where all he's done is come out and announce the attendance. So who the fuck
knows? Yeah. And also there was the, let's put it this way, a purposeful leak that Steve Austin would be very interested in appearing at this year's WrestleMania.
Oh, he's going to show up.
Yeah.
He's going to be there at WrestleMania one of the nights. Maybe it's to announce the attendance again. Maybe it's to do something with CM Punk. Maybe he's the guy on the phone with Randy Orton.
No.
I doubt it. No, but yeah, maybe. I mean, what are the chances that he does something with Danhausen? I'd put him greater than 20%.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's pretty good.
I even think it's 50-50 that it's going to be him at the end.
What do you think about this recent match record? I'm going to read you a Superstars match record. You tell me if this earns him a AEW championship match as much as Darby Allin has earned one.
Okay.
Most recent victories here. Richard Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Shotzi Blackheart. Swoggle. And somebody called Bobby Bishop. Ladies and gentlemen, the recent record of Danhausen.
Okay, yeah, well, he never has to wrestle. That's the great thing about this gimmick is...
I'm actually surprised how little he wrestled in 2025, because I mean, I wasn't paying too much attention about Danhausen.
But he was still under contract with AEW, so he could
But I thought he was able to work his indies every weekend, and that is clearly not what he was doing. At least he wasn't... Maybe he was doing the shows where he can sign autographs and stuff, but he was not wrestling. He did not wrestle much in 2025.
No, he did not.
He did, unfortunately, lose a big match to Effie back in November, so that might actually get him out of the world title picture. But no, obviously, is it the biggest thing going on in wrestling right now? No, not yet. But the way they've been promoting Danhausen and these backstage curses and them immediately taking effect is I feel they're building up to eventually him cursing somewhat of a big name. Maybe it's a Drew McIntyre going into the Jacob Fatu match. Maybe it's a tag team going into the tag team title match. Maybe somehow, you know, if you want to turn the Usos, right, if you fully turn them in some fashion, could Danhausen be the catalyst, right? So I think in the near future, Danhausen's curse is going to play a pivotal part in someone's storyline. Even if they just hang on to it, maybe they've booked themselves into a corner on something and need a way out, and they're like, we're saving Danhausen for that way out. Because as simple as a curse, we could have a way out of whatever we've done wrong here.
Okay, I can get behind that.
The Road Dog, Jesse James, was fired a couple of weeks ago. I missed this one because I was on vacation to talk to you about it. He was the head of SmackDown Creative, which I feel like was probably one of those bonehead decisions we could have all seen coming. Whether you watch Unreal or not, just don't know how Jesse James, the Road Dog, it should be your top guy for handling creative pitches. But anyway, he's gone now. Do you see this playing a part in what we're going to see here going through summer of WWE creative, especially on the SmackDown side?
No. I view him more as kind of the guy that's in charge of communicating from creative to Triple H versus the creative force behind the show. Like, I'm sure he was pretty good at doing, say, the formats and stuff like that, but he had final say probably on ideas before he filtered them to, because still the creative force behind the scene are the triumvirate of Hayes, Pritchard, and Triple H. I don't have a lot of info because most of my guys from SmackDown are gone before Road Dogg got elevated to this position, but I just saw him as a guy who was there and probably was good but not great at his job, and probably was good at facilitating things. But once you get to this 3-hour thing and you need to fill more content, you need someone there who's driving more ideas, and I never saw him as that kind of person.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we're not backstage. We don't know how he interacts with others too much, but I think they were already kind of changing the wheels. And the reason why I wanted to bring this up is obviously the SmackDown side has changed a bit going into WrestleMania on what the focuses are. Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes seems like it's going to be a one-on-one match, and we're going separately with Jacob Fatu and Drew McIntyre. And then we still don't know what, if anything, Sami Zayn is going to do in here. Is he going to play a part? Is he going to maybe be involved somehow in the Drew McIntyre thing? Is it Trick Williams and Sami Zayn? There's a lot of singles matches coming up right now for this WrestleMania that seemingly have stories that have either just started or haven't even started yet. So we're going to have, and potentially some of these guys just won't be on the show, right? Because we still have, obviously your two main events, Cody Rhodes, Randy Orton, and then the CM Punk match on the other side. We're going to have an Usos match, and it looks like that's going to be against The Vision. Seth Rollins, is Bron Breakker going to be back in time? Is Seth Rollins sitting WrestleMania out, potentially? Brock and Obafemi was made this week. There's a lot of matches to spread out over two nights. And will they do WrestleMania like last year and make each night basically six? I don't even think a night had seven matches last year, right? Like, we're basically looking at six matches per night at this point. And those are kind of filling up pretty quick when you have the women's matches there being added too, and potentially a SmackDown tag team title match. So what say you going into the next 3 weeks, basically, until WrestleMania?
I was going to put a button on the Road Dogg stuff because you can make your own. You can make your own statement and say, hey, this is also part and parcel to the quote-unquote worries about ticket sales and it not being a hot product during this time. But also, this could just be, and Vince used to do this all the time, it's time for a shakeup. I'm going to fire a couple people up at the top. I'm going to elevate a couple other people.
A month into WrestleMania? Like, a month? There's a lot of reports, too. There's a lot of reports, too, that Road Dogg might have, it potentially wasn't just a firing, that Road Dogg was kind of making it to where they either had to fire him or he wanted to get out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. He might've been burned out.
So, and you're going into the busy time and maybe he was just seeing writing on the wall, but right now we have, last year there were seven matches per night. So we're probably getting six to seven matches on this year's show. So you have 14 to spread out and they're going to be filled by things like Trick Williams versus Sami Zayn, or, I don't envision Rusev getting on this show. It's hilarious. If you go to the WrestleMania 41 Wikipedia, like literally the only wrestler pictured. Let me see if it's the only wrestler pictured. Nah, there's some wrestlers pictured, but they talk about the Raw after WrestleMania and the big news coming from it. Rusev returned.
This is a very one match card right now. And even that match, I feel like the Punk Roman stuff is getting fumbled based on how Punk is talking, because it's one of those things.
That. Oh, well, I don't know what episode it was. Someone go back and track what episode it was. I told you going into the show, CM Punk is going to be the heel going into this WrestleMania. The crowd wants to see Roman Reigns more. And the more CM Punk, like you say, is going into the digging up of, I'm going to sucker punch Roman Reigns and I'm going to talk about his dead dad.
Yeah.
Some of the crowd's going to turn on him a little bit when they have no reason to turn on Roman Reigns. and the Usos are partnering up with Roman Reigns, and the crowd loves the Usos. Mm-hmm. Television is giving no reason why you should be siding with CM Punk.
Right, and that's so weird, given that this is his dream, is to main event WrestleMania, and we all know that, and it's been part of the story for 2 years.
Last year was the main event of WrestleMania. They milked that last year. So him getting the Sunday night slot as the world champion doesn't mean anything now as far as that story goes. Like, it means something because he's the world champion. It's the Sunday night main event. It's always the biggest main event of the show. But like, as far as it being like CM Punk is realizing his dreams as being in a singles match main event, that was last year. Okay. No one's putting that into this year because it's not a thing. And if they try to make it a thing, which they really haven't, no one's coming out here on TV and be like, this is CM Punk's dream. You finally got the main event by yourself. Well, you finally got the main event on Sunday. Because if you come out and say you finally got the main event on Sunday, this is a bigger deal. Mm-hmm. Then you're shitting on Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton.
Yes. Yes, you are. But if rumors about the creative were true and Roman was supposed to invoke his dead dog in the promo and decided instead to go with old, then they dodged a bullet.
People coming into my room here trying to make money here.
Are you?
Major update. So major update on Bron Breakker's WrestleMania 42 status.
Okay.
Let's see. WWE is optimistic that Bron Breakker can return before WrestleMania 42. On the latest episode of Wrestle Votes Radio on Fightful Select, there's optimism that he could be returning to Raw within the next couple of weeks. So that doesn't answer the question of whether Seth is actually fully healed and ready to go. I don't see how, like, if he suffered this in late January, a hernia to the effect that he suffered, you know, Paul Heyman was coming out on Raw and actually giving the diagnosis of the hernia he suffered. Like, coming back in 2 months is pretty quick.
Yeah.
To do something this athletic. Because it's not like he has to go and lift weights and all that stuff. Maybe he could, you know, take some time to do that. Because that's really where it comes into. You really shouldn't be lifting anything. So I guess he could come in and maybe have a match here and just, you know, hope there's a quick road to the nearest medical facility if needed. But it's not just Bron Breakker. It's not just me saying that. It's not just WrestleVote saying that. It's Sports Illustrated saying that as well.
Okay. So you have Seth who may not be 100%. You have Bron who may not be 100%. Both are pushing to get on this Mania card.
Yeah, there are spots. Like, I make it sound like, oh, there's no room left for any of these matches. I mean, right now we only have 5 official matches for WrestleMania. But you can see the writing on the walls with a lot of other ones filling up there. Who gets left off? Who doesn't? Is there going to be a battle royal? Is there going to be a pre-show? Is going to be all this stuff? We don't really get pre-show matches anymore. So I see that trend kind of continuing of not having an actual pre-show match. But right now we have Obafemi and Brock Lesnar. That match was made on Monday Night's Raw. Jade Cargill and Rhea Ripley, Cody Rhodes, Randy Orton, Stephanie Vaquer, Liv Morgan, CM Punk, and Roman Reigns. So the 4 big title matches and the big Brock Lesnar match, which is a main event in any arena in the country.
Yeah, and we have a bunch of rumored matches.
Like, you think it's going to be Fatu and McIntyre, right? Is that you checkmark me, and I'll checkmark you. You think, yeah, checkmark to Fatu and Drew McIntyre. Checkmark to
Royce Keyes and Jelly Roll teaming up.
Royce Keyes and Jelly Roll teaming up, and who would they be teaming up against?
I forgot what team they were interacting with on SmackDown or Jelly Roll.
Well, they were interacting with The Miz.
Oh, yeah. So it'll probably be like Miz and
Kit Wilson.
Yeah,
that's right. I wanted to see. Yeah, because that's one of those things where, like, really, Jelly Roll is going to wrestle The Miz and Kit Wilson. Interesting, because you also had Jelly Roll kind of put over Randy Orton and Randy Orton's turn. So I feel like that's the end of that. Maybe there might be a backstage. If they're both wrestling at WrestleMania, maybe potentially you get some type of interaction with Jelly Roll and Randy Orton. But yeah, The Miz and Kit Wilson potentially getting a WrestleMania match. Women's tag team titles, I would imagine, if that's going to be a one-on-one. Looks like we're headed back to AJ and Becky. AJ and Becky for the Intercontinental Championship there as well. So there's a lot of still a lot of room to go. Will Sami Zayn get on that show? America is asking that question. Will Sami Zayn wrestle? So yeah, that's kind of where we're at heading into WrestleMania. Any other things from WWE TV this week that you wanted to bring up?
Who is on the phone?
Who was on the phone with Randy Orton?
Yeah.
And are we 100% positive that it matters?
Exactly. That's the other thing. It's like, oh, it could be Ric Flair. It could be Chris Jericho. It could be.
Like, are we 100% certain that even, like, yeah, they have been hiding some things. I mean, we had backstage this week on Raw, Austin Theory talking to Maxine, an upset Maxine.
Yeah.
In the background of a New Day skit, right? I believe. Mm-hmm. It was Kofi Kingston throwing Grayson Waller
to under the curse. Bus. Yes.
Under the curse, if you will. So we'll see what that goes. But yeah, so you got some of those background things. I mean, they do this on WWE TV. They try to, you know, give you something to like become a mystery. But potentially, is this mystery going to actually pay off? Is it going to be his dad? Is it going to be Ric Flair? I do think it's going to be Ric Flair.
Do you?
I at the same time, I think Ric Flair technically is under contract with AEW, which is like a weird scenario. But I think he is. I look it up. You listening, look it up and you let me know at Bob from Indiana on Twitter. But I think Ric Flair is technically under contract still. But if you're talking about the family situation, like who else could it be? Is it Dave Bautista?
I've seen one that actually interests me, and that is Ricky Saints and Ethan Page as a duo.
Yeah, we have rumors swirling out there that we could potentially be getting a new legacy with Ethan Page and Ricky Saints, which this, I know Ted DiBiase isn't around anymore and potentially going to jail.
That was my joke, as he's on phone with the state of Mississippi so he can turn states against DiBiase.
It is quite hilarious that Ted DiBiase Jr. is kind of held up in the same exact thing that Brett Favre is held up for in
yes.
the same exact state. Like literally their paths are tied. So we'll see. Well, we won't see, because I don't care if Ted DiBiase goes to jail or not. I don't know what's going on there. But yeah, a new legacy. I don't know. I mean, there's probably worse ways you could bring up an Ethan Page and a Ricky Saints. I mean, honestly, I think this would be a boon for Ricky Saints to come up under the wing of Randy Orton. Because he wouldn't have to be the guy to shine the entire time. I think he would still try to be, and that might be what causes him to kind of fail in that role. But Ricky Saints, Ethan Page, I don't know. I don't put those odds at over 50%. I think it's a toss-up at
right.
best. That they're coming up to be a new legacy with Randy. Why is Randy Orton calling Ricky Saints?
Right.
Why exactly. is he calling Ethan Page? No, this is, you know, there's more than one royal family in professional wrestling. So you tie.
Oh, there's the other one is Shane McMahon, because of course this is a shot at the royal families or whatever. It's like, God, no.
I can tell you right now, it's not going to be Shane. I can break Good. That news on this show that it will not be Shane McMahon talking to Randy Orton on the phone. We'll see on SmackDown. We'll see on next week's Raw. We'll see on. It was kind of weird that they wanted to do it on Raw too. Like, do they think that there are more eyeballs on Raw, even if it's just on social and they're not watching actually on Netflix? Mm-hmm. That like, hey, this is going to be a big storyline for Randy Orton. We need to get it onto the Raw show right now, so that people can start a buzz. Maybe build this up. Is he going to be on the phone at different times backstage? And maybe he's talking to multiple people. Maybe he's building an army of some sort to take on Cody Rhodes. Maybe it's Royce Keyes.
The Rock.
Maybe it's The Rock. Maybe, just maybe, it's William Goldberg. You can just say any name, right? Because who
right.
knows at this point?
It's good.
And is it gonna be important? Is it not gonna be important? Are we thinking that whoever he's on the phone with is gonna like debut in the world title match at WrestleMania?
This Mania needs a second hot feud. I'm sorry, it does. With and it's not being done by this Orton standing over Cody after hitting him with the stairs or whatever. I mean, it needs it verbally too, and it just isn't happening.
Yeah, the negative is they did it last year. I thought they did a really good job, and it was honestly Jey Uso's fault, if anyone, why Gunther versus Jey Uso wasn't as big as it was.
Right.
But I really did feel like this is the WrestleMania where Gunther could have been in a big match and people would care.
Yes, especially if he was retiring someone that people cared about.
I think they would have actually, it was a miss doing a Rey Mysterio match, honestly. Okay. I think it would be a miss doing Gunther and Rey Mysterio. This is the one where I get it. Obafemi is the hot new thing. And especially if he beats Brock, like it could be more important for the company for the next several years.
Yeah.
Fine. But this is probably where you could have done Brock versus Gunther. You know, hopefully we get that match down the line. You know, I wouldn't have minded AJ Styles to like stick around through WrestleMania.
Right.
You have, but yeah, Gunther could have been that guy to, especially even now, like even if he just showed up on TV on Monday and started something, you want to talk about a guy who can make something hot 3 weeks down the road?
Mm-hmm.
Probably Gunther.
He's going to get the Penta match, isn't he? That's what it's going to be. It's going to be another Gunther Penta.
Yeah. I don't know why you wouldn't, but in my mind, Gunther has to win. I don't know why you wouldn't. And there's still, you know, Dominic Mysterio out there. You're going to have Dominic and Finn Balor at this point. Does JD McDonough play a part in that match? I don't know. I don't know. LA Knight. What's LA Knight doing?
Looks like he's feuding with the Usos is what it looks like he's doing.
Well, yeah, but if you're going to do the Usos versus the Vision.
Right.
What is LA Knight doing at WrestleMania? Is he going to be involved in that match and not have a match of his own?
He's taken out before. Oh, there it is. Because he's not going to be fighting Brock anymore in whatever ambulance match we thought he was going to be in or whatever.
I know. I don't love to fantasy book, but I like to go in hindsight, like what could they have done that would have been awesome. And I think keeping Paul Heyman out of TV a little bit more, the segment on Monday's Raw was great. I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seth Rollins not backing down to Brock. He steps up to him. And then he rolls out because he knows it's not his fight right now. Like it wasn't, I'm running away from Brock Lesnar, which is what I was worried they were going to, you know, do once Oba came out. I just don't know what you got LA Knight doing. But yeah, I wish Paul Heyman would have been kept off. LA Knight versus Brock, if you were going to do it, that would have made sense, but they're not going to do it. So I don't need LA Knight delivering Paul Heyman in an ambulance 3 weeks later. Like, it's okay, because that's not the story they're trying to tell here.
But LA Knight, Gunther could be built in 3 weeks. Easy.
Oh, easy. And the crowd would love it, too, because they love to hate Gunther, and they love to pop at LA Knight's entrance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the match should go 10 minutes.
No.
But if you're going to have a guy go 10 minutes with LA Knight, Gunther's the one. So there you go. You have LA Knight and Gunther. We've booked it right now. It's happening. You can buy your tickets. I would guess night two. I don't know why I would guess that, but I'm going to guess night two for LA Knight and Gunther. Obafemi and Brock, does that go on the same show as Roman Reigns and CM Punk? Or do you put that on Saturday to give Saturday a little bit more juice?
I put it on Saturday to give more juice. I think that match is going to be something. I don't know if it's going to be great, but it's going to be something.
I love how we think that's going to go on Saturday because like you need to give Saturday more juice. Brock don't want to stick around through Sunday.
No, it's going to be the opener. It's going to be the opener of Saturday so that Brock can get on a plane.
It very well could be. I mean, they're in Vegas, so maybe Brock will stick around today.
Yeah. No, I think Brock has been the opener of every pay-per-view he's been on in the last year or so.
Was he the opener last year? What was a little WrestleMania 41? Where was Brock Lesnar at? I know everyone has such a better memory than I do. So I
don't have a memory of this.
Yelling at their phone right now. Of course he was, you idiot.
He wasn't in Saudi Arabia, I think.
What was the Brock match last year? No, he hadn't come back yet.
He hadn't come back yet.
He just came back in the summer. Yeah. Yeah, he just came back in the summer. So he hadn't come back yet. He came back to wrestle John Cena this summer. So he wasn't actually at WrestleMania.
His plane never turns off the engine. He gets off that plane, walks in, does his match, leaves, gets on the plane, and flies home before we're even into the intermission in any way.
Mark Nash is still announcing his name, and he's already gotten on the flight back to Saskatchewan.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the build up to WrestleMania. Big show. Like I'm going to be excited for it. It is usually the second most, favorite PLE of mine at this point, Royal Rumble being number one. I saw the other day, people, people being asked, it was like a TikTok video, people being asked, what's your favorite PLE? And someone said SummerSlam. And I'm like, how? Why are you really, why are you really big into SummerSlam? Like, what the hell is SummerSlam at that you're, are you just excited to watch pay-per-views on Saturdays in August?
Well, it's now 2 days and it's in a B city or stadium.
I mean, I can understand if you said Money in the Bank. I can understand if you said Elimination Chamber. But
maybe
you know
that's
what my
it.
Favorite show
I, you know what I want? I want a PLE with no gimmicks inherent in it, and that's SummerSlam.
Yeah, you could say Crown Jewel because I like the visuals and I like when they travel to Australia or Saudi Arabia or wherever. You know, I like the European ones, but no SummerSlam. SummerSlam. Freaking show is going to be in Indianapolis at some point. Like, it's going to be just in a nowhere. And there's no inherent stipulations and whatnot. So I don't know. So I just thought that was funny. Sometimes there's funny things happening on those TikTok videos, which I've gotten less and less. I don't know if you're on TikTok or Instagram.
Instagram I am, reels. But no TikTok. No, thank you.
I get significantly less wrestling content these days, which is great. Mm-hmm. It's transitioned into a whole bunch of other things, which is right down my alley. Like, I don't need to be seeing the wrestling creator reaction videos nonstop on my Instagram. Are you guys suffering through these? Maybe there's creators you like. I'm not even saying the creators are bad. I just don't need to see constantly five different creators reacting to videos. And at one point, that's what I was seeing for some reason. I'm going to get into these reactions. Doing reaction videos? I'm going to have I need my microphone not to make me half invisible if I do it, though.
Right.
What else is going on in the world of wrestling, Jeff?
Ricochet got in trouble.
Did get in trouble. For being a heel online.
Can we just say that people shouldn't act like jerks on the internet? Like, what he did was terrible. But also the reaction to it where it's like, why didn't Fightful and Figure Four report on this as news? And look, I get why they think it should be news, because sites like our friends at Fightful report on everything else said on a podcast for clicks. Perhaps people think that, yes, stupid people on Twitter should be reported as news. I didn't think it should rise to that occasion. But that being said, what Ricochet said was completely out of line and over the top. How about that?
Yeah, well, it's one of those things where you don't, you know, can you separate someone being a bad guy on TV and then also being a bad guy online versus that's the actual Trevor speaking online? It's the actual person speaking on it, and you're just supposed to hate that TV character. But the way some of these, I mean, there's no consistency amongst wrestlers how they portray their online presence, because there are some that are out there, like Becky Lynch, right? Who kind of does a mix. Sometimes she's Becky Lynch, sometimes she's Rebecca. There are other people out there that are putting family photos and wedding photos and stuff like that. And then there's the TV character stuff. And then there's some that don't even have their WWE name or their AEW name in their handle or anything. It is strictly they're the performer that plays a character on TV, but this is my personal Instagram.
Okay, but it's never turned out well when you're doing the kayfabe stuff. Because like, we just had something with Jade and Rhea that got out of hand. And you're like, let's stop this guy. Everybody just get offline. I know that we like the access and stuff, but everybody just stop. Just leave. Who cares? Nobody wants anybody's opinions anyways.
I think if they would do that stuff, I would, you know, keep it to the company's social media channels.
Like, yes,
make it the videos, make it, you know, something, just keep it to the social media. It doesn't have to be on Jade Cargill's Instagram.
Right.
It can be on WWE's Instagram coming from Jade Cargill.
Yes. And then have that degree of filtering where the company can approve or disapprove. And it's basically just advertising. That's all we need, man. We don't need Jade hurting Rhea's feelings or vice versa. And then getting out of hand, everybody going, whoa, okay, everybody off Twitter quick. Just stupid.
Jeff Hawkins. WWE also announced Saturday night's main event, so they are not going to do a Saturday night's main event rushed in the next 3 weeks sometime before WrestleMania.
Okay.
And as the last week progressed, I was like, well, yeah, they can't do it. It's now too soon to WrestleMania. You can't do it. But there was a chance there where if you asked me in February, late February even, I'd be like, oh, they might sneak one in there. But no, our next Saturday night's main event is going to be Memorial Day weekend, late May. And Jeff, it is happening in my hometown of Fort Wayne, Indiana, of all places.
Mm-hmm.
Fort Wayne.
And Saturday night's main event is the last man standing of any vestige of WWE programming on Peacock now that NXT is gone.
It's the last survivor of Peacock. We'll see how long it is. I don't know how long that deal is, but I think they still got some time on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, NXT is moving. You're going to have a lot more live event type stuff happening on the YouTube channel for WWE because they're not putting it on ESPN. They're not putting it on Peacock, as aforementioned. They're not putting it on Paramount or any other place right now.
Right.
A lot of that stuff is going to end up moving to YouTube. So if you want WWE Network, you know, Glory Day WWE Network, you basically have to subscribe to the YouTube channel and look at it. So yeah, AAA in the US right now is pretty much on YouTube, on the WWE YouTube as well. But yeah, Fort Wayne, Indiana tickets, are not super bad. Like you can get a, like the worst seat in the house for like $70, which for WWE TV shows, that's kind of low. I remember it used to be, obviously, as the old man, be able to go in for $25 to a TV show, but those days are long gone as TKO is the owner now of WWE. But yeah, like $70. And if you want a little bit closer, it gets up there, you know, 120, 190, and then floor seats still in the thousands of dollars for a WWE TV show where right now the only advertisements, looks like we probably will get a CM Punk and Cody Rhodes match. Not quite sure if that tells us who our champions are going to be when it comes to May, because I think we still have Backlash before that. But yeah, Saturday night's main event happening in May, advertising Cody Rhodes and CM Punk.
Is there any match possible? Because I think you're going to be on traveling anyways, since it's a holiday weekend type thing, and you tend to be a man about town.
I'll be like 40 minutes away, so like I could go. I have no interest really in going because
exactly.
Saturday night's main events at this point, it's four matches on the show. Generally, they don't mean a whole lot. Like you've had the attraction stuff like John Cena's last match and Goldberg's last match. You did have the four way to tell you who the number one contender was going to be in the world title picture. But generally, Saturday night's main event is like below SmackDown tier as far as a special event.
It's Peacock on a lame duck deal. There is no way. And it doesn't drive eyeballs to Peacock.
I mean, look at how important it must be. They're going to Fort Wayne, Indiana.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines. And we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.